and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you'll open your Bibles to John, the 21st chapter. John, the 21st chapter. The last Sunday of 1991 is upon us. Last night, as we saw the wedding of Leanna and Stephen, I couldn't help but to think back upon the beautiful year of 1991. You realize it was just May 6th that Leanna put on Christ in baptism, the biggest day of her life. Then last night, December 28th, she married Stephen, probably the second biggest day of her life, all in 1 year. The East Gaston congregation played a big role in both of those. Now they will be living just a few miles outside of Birmingham. But when she thinks back to her start as a Christian, as so many across the country do, she'll think of East Gaston. Let us continue to serve the Lord so we can serve others. I'm so glad to be a part of a congregation that loves the Lord and wants to do what the Lord wants us to do. I wanted to think of how to fulfill a goal that I've set for myself upon this day. The goal was very simple. David, preach a sermon that will motivate every member of the East Gaston Church of Christ to be stronger in 92 than they were in 91. A very simple goal, but yet I couldn't think of the words to say. I was at loss of how to motivate many to such a great task, even though it is simple. So upon my thinking, I began reminiscing over the year, and I thought about a passage that has become one of my most favorite passages just within this past year, and that's the passage of John, the 21st chapter. And then when I thought about that passage, it rang very clear. There aren't words that I can say that will motivate you to do that. But I do believe that the words that Jesus said to Peter that day will work. You see, Peter was in a time of transition. Just as we are in a time of transition, of closing out the old year and beginning the new year, Peter has been going through some difficulty in his life. It seems that Peter, all throughout his days, had been struggling for the times in his life to be strong when Christ was not in his physical presence. Think with me, if you will, when he was walking on the water. When did Peter sink? When he took his eyes off Christ, he began to sink. Peter was standing beside Jesus at the time of the arrest, and he was very strong. He was ready to fight for Jesus. He was ready to stand strong. But then Jesus was taken out of his sight, and what did he do? He denied him three times. Not once, not twice, but three times he denied him. Yes, Peter's begun a pattern. That pattern is, it's hard for me to stand strong when I can't literally be in the presence of Jesus. Now Jesus has a burden upon his shoulders. Jesus has the ability to see the talent and the eagerness that Peter has. And He knows what Peter can do for the future of the church, all of the great things that Peter will accomplish if, whenever Jesus goes back to heaven to build those mansions that will be prepared for us, if during that time, Peter can just remain strong. You see, it's during those times of absence that Peter had failed. So now Jesus is at a transition point. Jesus surely must have been thinking, I'm about to leave. How can I move Peter from this faith that is strong but yet is weak at times when I'm not with him? How can I move him to that point of being strong all of the time now that I'm about to leave? At the beginning of the 21st chapter, we see that Peter and the others are just sitting there and Peter's bored, so he goes back to what he knows best. The fishing. He says, I go fishing. The others said, well, I'm going with you. He goes out there and they didn't catch anything all night long. And so finally, a man from the shore says, cast on the other side. And they fill up 153 fish in the net. They began to pull the nets, and it's amazing how many fish were in the net. And so then when they came to shore, of course they realized that it was Jesus Christ there. And Peter, being over-ambitious and over-anxious as he usually is, he couldn't wait. He had to run up to the shore first. And now it's Jesus' opportunity. Now remember, this is a time of change. Don't you and I look at the new year as a time of change? Now come on, be honest. How many of you have already said, just this past week, well, when New Year's comes, I'm going to stop eating so many of these sweets? Now, has anybody here said that? I bet someone here has said that. I bet some of you ladies have said, well, when New Year's comes, I'm going to do what? Maybe I'm going to do different about the house cleaning. Maybe I'm going to do different with these particular tasks. Maybe I'm going to do different with whatever we want to accomplish. It seems that we wait to that New Year. It's like a resolution. It's a new beginning for us. Oh, all of us make those. I believe in a sense that is what Jesus was trying to build Peter up for here. Peter, there's coming a change in your life. I'm going to not be in your presence physically after a few more days. As a matter of fact, Jesus had a few options here. Jesus could have done what you and I oftentimes do. He could have reminisced. You know, just last night, four of us were standing around and we just mentioned, well, the year's coming to the end. And just automatically, we began reminiscing. Well, you remember back in the beginning of the year when y'all moved here and this and this. And we just kind of went through the whole year there. Why? I don't know. We tend to do that in times of change. We think back. Jesus could have said, Peter, you remember how funny that was with you walking on the water. Peter, you remember the look on your face when I first called you to be a follower of me and I said, follow me, and you left that boat. Oh, I'm sure they could have laughed about many things because they spent time together. But the point I want to stress this morning is that Jesus did not reminisce because He had something much, much more important upon His mind. He had upon His mind that He wanted to build a stronger man tomorrow than what was standing before Him that day. I hope that every one of us will be stronger in 92. But we're going to have to follow Jesus. Notice what He said to Peter in verse 15. Verse 15 of chapter 21 of John. So when they had dined, Jesus said to him, all right, now I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to know, what can I say that will motivate people? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Jesus, that's how you're going to motivate Peter? You're going to say, lovest thou me more than these? And he probably was referring to the 153 fish lying there. He was probably referring to the nets and probably pointing back to the boat. You see, many times when we step out of sin to follow Jesus, if we ever leave Jesus, we usually step back into the same sin. Now, I'm not saying that Peter was sinning with his fishing. But the fact was, he was called from the fish to come to follow Jesus, and now Jesus comes to him and he's went back to the fish. So surely he must have been implying, Peter, can you leave it alone to follow me? And as you and I probably so quickly would do, I'm sure he quickly answered, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my lambs. Well, Jesus, is that all? No, Jesus saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, I don't know about you, but when someone asked me the same question twice, I began to think, am I answering the right way? Do I understand the question they're asking? Have I given an answer that they can't approve of? So surely, Peter must have been thinking these things, but yet he answers again, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Is that it? No. Look at the next verse. He saith unto them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The third time. Do you think Jesus accomplished what He wanted to accomplish? Notice the rest of the verse. Peter was grieved. Brethren, it worked. Think about it. It worked. He touched the inward man. I don't know how to touch your inward being this morning, but I ask you one question. Do you love Jesus? Now, I'm sure everyone here was quick to say, yes, I love Jesus. But what if Jesus was standing here and you answered, yes, I love you, Lord. And He looked you dead in the middle of your face and said, do you love me? And again, you said, yes. What would be your feeling if He said the third time, do you love me? Would you evaluate your being? Would you think back? How have I been serving? Is He referring to the way I've lived over the past few months? Does Jesus not like the way I've been treating my family? Does Jesus not like the way I've treated my neighbors? Have I not loved them like I should? Or maybe one we think about very seldom. Is Jesus not pleased with my worship? When I sing praises to Him, have I not really been singing praises? Instead, I'm more concerned about the selection of songs, or maybe I'm more concerned about the one who's leading the singing. Have I really been worshiping God? When the one stands before to lead the prayer, am I really praying with that one that's leading the prayer? Am I praising God in worship? Is He not pleased? Oh, is He not pleased with the time that I spend in the Word of God? Why is He asking me three times, do you love me? Is He referring to the fact that I sometimes struggle with reading the Word as much as I should? Does Jesus know that I don't pray as often as I should? This morning, I beg you to answer the question three times in your heart. Do I love the Lord as I should this morning? We see that finally it took the third time for Peter to be grieved. And yet he came back and he said, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now it's interesting. First, Jesus wanted to know, Peter, where do I stand with You? Peter, I remember it wasn't long ago you denied me three times. Peter, now I've just asked you three times, where do I stand with You? I want to know for sure, are You on my side, Peter? This morning, we need to answer that before we move on to the second thing that Jesus mentioned to Peter. Are we on His side? Are we following? But notice in the next verse, it didn't stop here. This is not the only way that Jesus motivated Peter. Verse 18, He moves on to another point. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. And brethren, don't you know that was true? Don't you know that young fisherman, Peter, the ambitious one, the one that always has to be out in front, don't you know that he operated a very fine fishing service? Don't you know that no one told Peter when to go fishing? He told everyone else when he was going fishing. Don't you know that no one told Peter, now you don't fish in that area. I'm sure Peter was the one that told everyone where he was fishing. That just seems like the personality of Peter. He went where he wanted to go, when he wanted to go. That just seems like the personality of Peter. And now Jesus recalls that to his remembrance. Peter, you remember when you were young and you were that way? Now notice, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that I love you. Okay, if you love me, I want you to think back to the way you enjoyed living, being the free man. And I want you to know that if you really love me, you're going to have to stretch forth your arms for me. You're going to have to die for me. I want you to know that if you really love me, you're going to have to let another guard you. You're going to have to let another carry you places you do not want to go. Now, brethren, remember the purpose of this lesson this morning. Jesus, you're telling me you're trying to motivate Peter to be stronger. Jesus said, yes. Jesus, I don't understand. If you're trying to motivate him to be stronger, why did you ask him three times if he loves you to bring him to the point of grief? Jesus, if you want him to love you, why are you telling him all the hardships that are in front of him? Brethren, Jesus has never promised an easy road in following him. He's honest with Peter. And he wants Peter to realize that even though he's not going to be in his presence there, he's going to have to stand strong for Jesus. Brethren, I don't have the ability this morning to tell you the things that if God wills for us to live throughout the year of 92 that will happen to us. But it might be shocking to some of us. How will you stand in 92? If Jesus could stand before you this day, just as He stood before Peter and tell you some of the things that were going to happen in your life in 92, would you still be able to follow Him? If He was to be able to tell you some of the hardships that might come upon your family, if He was to tell you some of the ways that perhaps members of the church would discourage you, if He were to tell you maybe some of the problems that might resolve or result, you know, we've all heard or seen of people falling away from the church for various reasons. Perhaps there's problems in the church and people fall away. Perhaps there's someone that moves away and someone falls away. Why do those fall away? Is it because they're devoted to Christ? Or perhaps they were devoted to someone or to just an organization of people? This morning, I need to honestly answer the question, do I love Jesus? Because you see, there's a good chance that for some of us here, the year 1992 may not be easy. There's a good chance for some of us here where we may throw up our hands in the middle of the year and say, I can't believe that these things are happening. But I hope that every one of us will stay strong. I hope every one of us will love the Lord more in 92 than in 91. I've been a part of a congregation in the past where I would go home probably as many Sundays as not and wonder, why do those people have the strength to keep working through these problems? Why do they have the strength to be able to overcome problem after problem? And brethren, it's because they love the Lord. And then I see some that a small problem comes up and they leave the church. Who are we serving? We're serving Jesus. Jesus asked, do you love me? Not once, not twice, but three times. And Peter says, yea, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, listen, it's a hard road in front. But then, notice the final words that he says to him. In the middle of 19, and when he had spoken this, he said, follow me. Jesus, where's the punchline? You're going to move Peter from the state of being somewhat weak when you're not in his presence to being very strong when you're out of his presence. And I see the things you've done so far, but where's that wrap-up line that's just really the motivation? And Jesus says, follow me. That's it. That's it. You know, I think we can understand a little more about what Jesus means in Matthew the 8th chapter. Matthew the 8th chapter, notice what he says about follow me. Verse 18, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, now notice what the scribe says, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Well, that's the simple words that are very difficult. Because Jesus, knowing the hearts of men, must have known that this man did not know what it was to follow him. Notice what Jesus said. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus says, you'll follow me. Even a fox has a den. A bird has a nest. You need to do away with anything in your life that's between me and you. Apparently that scribe may have not been as ready as what he thought to follow him. But he didn't stop there. Another one of his disciples in verse 21 said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Jesus, that's harsh. Jesus, don't you want people to follow you? That's a little bit harsh to tell a guy, hey, you're going to have to give up everything if you're going to follow me. You're going to have to forget about your father that's dead if you're going to follow me. Jesus is trying to emphasize that there is nothing that should come before following Him. That's the same thing He was saying to Peter when He said, Peter, you're going to have to give up going wherever you want to go. You're going to have to give up girding yourself however you want to be girded. You're going to have to give up living as you want to live, and you're going to have to die as I command you to die. Now, if Peter understands all of those things, if he understands what it really is to love the Lord, what it really is to give your life for the Lord, then Jesus says, follow me. This morning, where do we stand in all of this? We've had a beautiful year in 1991. But all of us should have as our goal to be stronger in 92. Do you love me? Jesus asked. Are you willing to endure the hard times that will be in front of us? We studied in Bible class, it takes suffering. The book of 1 Peter was written because there's suffering. If we're ready for that, we're ready for that final thing that Jesus said. Follow me. Now, Lord, when I'm ready to follow you, does that mean that I've got everything behind me? No, I still make mistakes. One reason this is the most favorite passage of one of the most favorite passages of mine is how the chapter ends. Jesus has worked so hard with Peter, and he said so many strong words to him. And now he said, follow me, and I can just imagine that perhaps they're about to walk off. They've ended their conversation. They're about to leave. And poor old Peter turns around and says, but Lord, what about John over there? And it's almost a sarcastic answer. Jesus, what is it if I have him to tarry until I come? You follow me. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sometime think that we understand exactly what Jesus is telling us. And then all of a sudden we're going to look around and make a mistake like that. But the question is, do I want to follow? You see, if I really want to follow, when I make the mistake, I'll come back and I'll follow again. This morning, if you're not a Christian, what is your answer to the Lord? How are you going to answer the Lord when He says, do you love me? Is there any excuse that can be good enough for an answer when Jesus asks, do you love me? Is there any excuse? Now please think about this. Is there any excuse that you feel comfortable giving the Lord three times as to why you're not a Christian? Perhaps the third time will grieve you as it did Peter. If you've become a Christian, maybe it was one of the hardships that pulled you away. Maybe it was one of the times when you looked around at so-and-so and instead of looking at your own self, you fell away while you were evaluating someone else. This morning, if there's anyone here that is not comfortable with your soul's condition, let's end the old year right and let's begin the new year right. Let's be willing to say with a confident heart, yes, Lord, I love you. Lord, I don't know the hardships that's in front of me, but I want to face them with you, and I'm ready to follow you. If you need to respond, do so as we stand and as we sing.